Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
BT and Sal back on the fan. C-Mac in for BT, off the overnight, having fun on this midday show. And we started the show, in case you missed it a couple hours ago, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Started the show talking about the Yankees and the latest with them. Ken Rosenthal reporting for The Athletic, writing an article saying the Yankees likely to go with a cheaper option at first base, which for me makes Plan B, C-Mac, certainly nowhere as good as Plan A would have been, bringing back Juan Soto, but maybe even worse than we thought.
Yeah, as good as Juan Soto was never on the in the cards for me. It's impossible to lose Juan Soto and then get better. Maybe for a year, not moving forward. I just find it impossible. I've always been on Plan B sucks. And I think the early part of Plan B has been excellent. I really do believe that. I think they've addressed their pitching. I think Max Fried is an excellent starting pitcher, left-handed. I think he's going to be great to be a 1-2 with Cole, something they haven't had, even though they've tried. They've got a legitimate closer. I think if Loaisiga is healthy, the back end of the bullpen's excellent. But where you go from here is where you knew it was going to cost them 4 picks to sign 2 different major free agents. They chose Fried. The offense was always going to be lesser. And now when you're looking at options at first base, and there's really 2 clear-cut guys in Alonso, who isn't the perfect player,
right,
and Christian Walker, who's older, like, to go and spend that money, however short-term deal you might be able to make it, lose picks, get a player in here for right now, the asking price, way too much money than what the Yankees are comfortable with. Like, first base seems to be the place where they can, and also as many options. Like, Santana had a really good year, switch hitter, good defensive player. Like, Paul Goldschmidt, former MVP. No one's excited about these, don't get me wrong.
No, but they'd be okay.
But those are reasonable, especially if you throw a Ben Rice, who without question can hit. Like, he's hit in the minor leagues. I think he could hit at the major league level, maybe not at all-star level, but, like, you platoon him as part of a different package. Like, you can sell me on a first base with different options. They're still trading options. Like, you don't need those 2 guys. So I've always thought either first or second or third, one of that other infield position, was going to be cheap. And maybe first base, the Yankees view early on as the better option.
Right, like I'd be okay with Ben Rice or I don't want LeMahieu on the team, but whatever. They want to sell LeMahieu.
No.
LeMahieu?
No, absolutely. LeMahieu is a bench player. He's on the team. Yeah. He cannot be in a platoon. He cannot
He might be. But my point is I'd be okay with lesser at first base if it means Bregman at third base or whatever trade.
It might.
Yeah.
It
has to. Otherwise, the offense has gotten significantly worse. I don't want to hear about Jazz for a full year and Bellinger. Yeah, that's great, but it's not replacing Soto and Glaber.
And Wells hopefully hitting for a full year. It took him half a season.
And
Volpe should get better. Like, there are expectations.
Yeah, Dominguez better than Verdugo. Yeah.
Dominguez gets better. Yeah, Dominguez better than Verdugo. The offense is. But here's where, like, you're trying to do something, and the way you're talking right there, that I don't think the Yankees are trying to do, nor do I think it's plausible. They're not going to be as good offensively.
Right.
Like, from the early onset of Plan B, it was like, if you listen to the guys, even before this report specifically, you listen to Jack Curry, you listen to Brian Cashman, you listen to the people in the know, or at least perceived in the know, it's always been, The offense isn't going to be as good. So how do you fix that? You make your defense and pitching even better. Even if the pitching was a strength, you strengthen it. You can't score as many runs. You have to be better at preventing runs. And that's kind of the first move was Freed. They went out and got a closer. Like, they're working on preventing runs. They're going to need to upgrade these positions, but it's never going to be the upgrade that's going to make the offense the best offense in the American League, which is what it was last year.
Right. So, and then it comes down to me, philosophically, what you think plays in today's game. Forever, yeah. I was always I want the pitching, mm-hmm. I want the defense, give me the horses. You need the ace minimum, but you right. really want that 1-2 punch.
Yeah.
Get the closer, play some defense, worry about the offense later.
Yeah.
Now, I have changed my tune, especially after watching what the Mets did a year ago, but more so where the sport has evolved to where you don't, like, even the best pitchers, they go 5-6 innings the majority right. of the time. Right. I feel like starting pitching, or mm-hmm. just pitching in general, is either fickle
yes.
or just not reliable enough
right.
to make that the priority. Yeah. And I'd much rather have the everyday lineup.
Oh.
And what the Yankees had last year with the threat of Soto, Judge, what the Dodgers had with their stars. Like, you saw in the postseason, when the lineup turns and the pressure is on the opponent,
sure,
because you got guys on for the 2-3-4 hit, whatever it may be,
right.
And that's just not going to be there now for the Yankees.
I know, but we also saw the bottom of the order do nothing. And we saw right. halfway through the year, you know, the Mets and Luis Severino talking about the two good hitters on the New York right. Yankees. Like, there is a way. I agree with you. It'll never be as good. I'm a Juan Soto guy. I mean, you agree.
Are you more baseball pitching, pitching or hitting?
No,
right now?
Over the course of 162, there's no doubt who's more valuable.
The
batter. The okay. offense is more valuable, because you're right. You could find pitching. The pitchers don't go deep into the game anyway. You need a legitimate bullpen. You need a bunch of arms out there. Like, I totally agree. But I do think in the postseason they can play a bigger role. Like, you could look at this year and make the argument the champion was throwing bullpen games at you because of injuries and stuff. But still, I do believe in the postseason, having a top of the rotation that is as dynamic as the Yankees could be will impact them in the postseason. But over the course of 162, there's no doubt. But, like, we can look at this lineup, and though it might not be as good, and yes, the middle of the order might not be as threatening, you could have upgrades. You forget Rizzo didn't play and was a zero. Like, whoever they bring in is probably going to be an upgrade. Like, right. you could still have a deeper, longer lineup that makes things a little bit more difficult and a little bit more young and athletic and base stealing and doing some of the different things. I think small ball goes too far and bunting isn't that big of a deal, but just the athleticism of the overall lineup, the contact that you might be able to get. Bellinger doesn't strike out. He's kind of changed as a hitter. If you look at where he was in 19 with all the home runs, he's made a distinct change to his swing to try and get more contact. You might have less strikeouts in this Yankee lineup. You might have a deeper Yankee lineup. It won't be as potent and it won't be as good, but it can be different. And it can be good enough in this American League when you add on the pitching. So they're building a overall team to compete for a championship. They're not competing with the 2024 New York Yankee lineup. That's not their goal.
C-Mac in for BT on this Friday. We also talked about the Jets and Woody Johnson and the story that was out there yesterday, Diana Rossini, and talking about the Jets here, you know, how they move forward as far as, you know, that story exposing a major issues with dysfunction from ownership on down. You know, how are they going to be as far as viewed from a good GM or head coach candidate? So we get into that as well. 888-808-1019. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Anthony's in Nassau County. What's up, Ann?
Hey, guys. Two things. One thing is, I would take Alonso on my team as a Yankee fan in 1 second. You mm-hmm. put him behind Judge. Judge had nobody behind him last year. With him behind him, forget it. Number two, you tell me how great Torres is. He batted 140 in the World Series with a 250 on base percentage. When he got on, he couldn't run. I mean,
that's not fair. I mean, he wasn't as good in the World Series as he was in the other playoff series. I'm sorry. Did you watch the playoff series? You're going to tell me Gleyber Torres wasn't an offensive asset?
He
was a force at the top of the order. He
was
on base.
He was good in the ALCS. Terrible in the ALDS. And terrible
no,
in the world.
Was, I'm sorry. I disagree with you. I disagree with you.
Well, you got to look at the stats.
Yeah, but you gladly want Pete Alonso, and you're going to tell me Gleyber Torres can't run.
1 second. Well, he goes behind Judge. Judge might hit 70.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's just, I mean come on.
Judge almost hit 70 anyway.
I know. It doesn't matter that much. Oh. It really doesn't matter that much. And he had Juan Soto in front of him. He had the best on base guy in this generation getting on base in front of him.
And in the postseason,
that matters too.
In the postseason,
it didn't matter who was behind him. He couldn't hit.
Correct. And it felt like Gleyber and Soto were on every time in front
100%.
Of him, and he still never came through.
Listen, Gleyber Torres, I agree with the New York Yankees. I don't want him back.
Me either, for the record.
I didn't want him traded at the deadline because I thought he could give you that kind of offense, and I thought that particular team needed it, and they weren't going to get better trading Gleyber Torres at his lowest value with a half-year rental. But that doesn't change the fact that I agree that he's overall a negative. To steal, you know, Gary Cohen, he's a net negative in many of the ways that he plays baseball. He was the worst defensive second baseman in the American League last year. He can't run the bases that well. He has a low baseball IQ. I agree with all of that. That doesn't change the fact that he was a force offensively in the World Series or in the postseason. And the Yankees have to find a way to get that. Now, can they get it? Sure. Edmonds was the NLCS MVP. You might be able to find it from anywhere, but you still need to find it.
Well, the point is right now, and I'm with you, I would have liked Gleyber go, we know that, but he did produce offensively.
No doubt.
And he was a threat, especially in the postseason.
And I am more onto the Pete Alonso than I was before. I'm more willing.
I just don't think he's a good fit. And by the way, it's not going to happen. I don't think
it's going to happen either.
They basically said, so he's going to be the most expensive one.
Yes, no doubt.
But they
do need home runs, and I do think at Yankee Stadium, Pete hit a lot of... I mean, by the end of the postseason, if you watch how he performed after he hit that home run over Williams, he tried to go opposite field on almost every swing.
Right, well,
he really focused on going the other way. At Yankee Stadium, I think he'd hit 45 home runs, I do.
He used to do that a lot more. Alonso used to go to the opposite field a lot more.
Yeah.
I just feel like I don't think it's a good fit with the Yankees. But look, I mean, if they sign him, sure. Okay, you have another power bat in the lineup. I would, if I'm the Yankees, go in a different direction. I also don't think they're going to go in that direction.
Yeah.
Bottom line is, they have, if you're just looking at their lineup from last year to this year, they have lost Soto and lost Gleyber Torres. They have added Bellinger.
Right.
They need a lot more.
Of course.
That's it. And they're going to do it. It's just a matter of who.
No, they still need an outfielder or a first baseman and a second baseman or a third baseman. They need two bats. There's without question. The question is whether or not they will look at the top of the availability, the top of the talent pool for it, or they'll look for deals.
Joe is in Westchester. What's up, Joe?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, Joe?
How are you, Joe?
I had two quick questions, or two things I wanted to point out. One is on baseball stars.
Yes.
I remember that game because you could build your team like you mentioned. Do you remember that you actually had to take the game out a certain way or else all your stuff would be lost? It wouldn't be saved.
Somebody was texting me that. I don't remember that myself. I don't remember having an issue with it. They had to take it out a certain way? No, I don't recall
that. You had to press two buttons at the same time when you took it out or else it would erase everything. And I used to go crazy when things would get erased. Parents would be like, what's going on in there? Because I'd lose my mind. But anyway, the other thing I wanted to mention about Alonso, listen, he's 30 years old. Okay. He's the best power hitter on the block right now. Mm-hmm. You know, that's available.
Mm-hmm.
All right. A 5-year term. I mean, I think he'll still be decent. I think he'll start winding down at maybe 35 years old. But when people keep talking about his body, like I hear BT talk about it, he's got an old school body. When I grew up in the 80s, nobody ever got hurt. You had guys on the IL.
He plays every day. I'm not worried about his body. I mean, Jim Thome didn't break down either. He'll break down at different elements of his game. I think the power is going to be the last thing that goes to people.
But don't you think the power? See, the reason why I don't think he's a fit for the Yankees is because they've already have two aging right-handed power bats in Stanton and Judge.
Yeah.
I
don't think Judge is aging.
Well, he is. He's 33.
I mean, we're all aging.
No, well,
but
okay.
But
33. I mean, okay. Well, at what age do you think players start to
decline? He just had arguably the greatest season any right-handed hitters ever had.
Understood. But we're projecting beyond next year.
I understand that. But like
at what age do you think he's going to decline? 35, 36, 37? Where are you at?
At least 37.
Well, I mean, now you're really pushing it forward. Usually you start to see a decline at 34, 35, and some guys.
I think Judge is special.
Also, when Judge, to keep him fresh so he doesn't decline, where are you going to put him? First base.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
So then why would you commit to Pete long term?
Yeah.
Also, I don't think the Yankees need power. Bellinger's power uptick, joining the Yankees, playing at Yankee Stadium, to me would almost wash what Soto did, just strict power.
Mm.
You don't think so?
No. You think he's going to hit 40 home runs?
Oh, what did Soto have exactly?
40.
Yeah, I mean, Soto's not going to be a 40-home run guy himself anyway, but in front of Judge, maybe a different story. I think Bellinger could hit 30. So you're telling me you can't. And also, if you think about it at first base, what did Rizzo hit? Like nothing.
Two.
Right? Yeah, okay. So you're gonna get mathematically, like statistically, you're going to get the power numbers there without Soto and adding a first baseman in Bellinger. Yeah. I think Bellinger's gonna have more power than he's displayed the last couple years.
Yeah, I mean at Yankee Stadium and Brian Cashman did say you gotta remember that it's actually 87.
Yeah, yeah, because Steinbrenner Field with the Rays.
Yeah,
so power to me. Lineup, offense, different story. Specifically power, I don't think the Yankees will. They got Judge and Stanton along with Bellinger. That's three.
Well, Stanton's gonna miss a month.
Well,
that is a lock. Least. That's a lock. He's gonna miss a month. And he's going to go through a month where he can't hit. So, I mean, those are two things that happen with Giancarlo. I don't know how many home runs he's still going to have. I still think they need pop because I don't know where the home runs are coming from. Like, if you look at him down this lineup right now, I don't how many home runs is Wells going to hit?
Right.
Volpe doesn't hit home runs. I don't know about Jazz. He's got power, but I don't know how many home runs Jazz is going to hit. I don't. Whoever they bring in to play second base is going to hit home runs. I got to count on Dominguez. I don't know what power Dominguez has.
Yeah, well, I mean, those guys should, in theory, have more power. Look, you're never going to turn away power, but what you're paying for.
They're the Bronx Bombers.
Understood. But what you're paying, you just said it yourself, they're not going to be able to build a better offense than.
No, but you can get home run hitters.
Well, right. But why not then try to get a better balance? Pete, you're paying for specifically power, and you're going to have to pay a lot for it because of his age and because of the power. Whereas the Yankees don't want a long-term commitment at first base because of maybe moving Judge there eventually,
maybe
because of the finances, where a guy like Walker, if you're going to pay anyway, why not pay a guy who's still going to hit with some pop and be a better all-around defensive?
And he's a Gold Glove caliber. Yeah, listen.
And a shorter-term contract. Like, he's just a better fit.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying I'm open to Pete Alonso because I do think they need home runs. And if Christian Walker is going to, he's also Pete's a prolific power hitter.
Yeah.
I mean, Christian Walker,
correct.
You could expect him to be good, and he's better defensively, and hopefully the money's down. But right now, I don't know where the money is. I don't know how long of a contract they want. He's 3 years younger, 3 years older, rather. I mean, I think both options aren't great. That's why Plan B sucks.
Yeah, Taco Frank is calling from Hamilton, New Jersey. Hi, Taco Frank.
Taco Frank. Yo, what's up? Merry Christmas, boys.
You
Merry
too.
Christmas, Taco Frank.
Merry Christmas. Couple things real quick. Sal, you got your Christmas gift a little early there in Soto, but just be careful what you ask for, man. At that press conference, he looks like he's been hitting the sweet Adele a little hard already, man.
Yeah. I'm not worried about it at all. I'm not worried about Soto's shape at all.
All right. Hey, I've never seen Die Hard either. My buddies get on me all the time, but Mac, you got to, your kid might have passed by your kids kind of thing because of the technology, but my kids play my Nintendo all the time. I still have it hooked up, and Baseball Stars was great. But just a real quick story for you, man, on the Nintendo. We have a huge Super Bowl party, Sal, and your name ended up coming up. So at halftime, we all go play Tecmo Bowl, and I'm playing my buddy Casey. It's Eagles-Giants, 20 seconds left, game's over, but you can't take a knee in Tecmo. And QB Eagles, which is Cunningham, of course, they couldn't use the name on him.
Yep.
He fumbles, and the Giants take it back 85 yards, and he beats me for $100. But the reason your name comes up, guess who runs it back the 87 yards?
Who? Carl Banks.
88 Giants. Carl Banks.
58 Giants? Thank you for the call, Taco Frank. Hey, tremendous. Carl was a great player.
Oh, Carl was a tremendous player.
No issues there.
No.
And I
did buy my kids a couple years ago they have Nintendo systems that have 1,000 games on it.
Right.
One of those things. Yeah. And they played it for a while, but now my oldest loves playing Madden, so he's playing regular.
It's hard for a young kid. Like, I tried to get my niece and nephew into it. It's hard for them who have experience now.
The charm of it.
It's not there for them.
I got it mainly because they were into the old wrestlers. When they first started watching WWE, they got into the old wrestlers, and so some of the old video games, the wrestling video games. But speaking about video games, do you have it real quick so we can just get it out of my mind, Pete? No, the song I played, Pete.
What the hell was
that? So this is, see if you know this one. It's a little bit older, but this is teenage years with my buddies playing this video game nonstop. I threw it on him. That's my fault. Well, that gives it away. Wait, hold on.
Mario, so you got Sonic.
You got a
tough one. Madden.
You got a fast boat to the... This isn't the same song. That's fine. That's my fault. I should have made sure they had the song.
What do you mean this is not...
There is the pause music. The pause music. The actual video I sent you. The pause music. during the James Bond GoldenEye.
Yeah.
Oh, well, GoldenEye, I sent him a specific, video.
Was that Nintendo 64?
Yeah, yes, Nintendo 64 GoldenEye. Yeah. And it's just like you would play as four different players and you would just like go around an area and try and kill each other.
Yeah.
And the pause music is so so definable to me for whatever reason. And it's so good. I'll get it during the break. Okay. We'll play it. But yeah, sorry. That's my fault.
You're all right. All right, Nick Costos coming back. When we come back on the other side, we'll hear from Nick Costos, C-Mac in for BT on this Friday.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit MindfulTherapyGroup.com.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk about your Giants on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back.
Welcome back. Welcome back to Nick Costos. He's on the line right now. Host of You Better, You Bet, and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Check the latest lines on the BetMGM app. Catch You Better, You Bet weekdays 3 to 7 p.m. Eastern on the BetQL network. And watch now from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on NBC Sports Fast Channel or Peacock. Nick, congratulations on that. Before we get into that, we get C-Mac in for BT today, Nick. Just so you know, Chris McMonagle here. Before we get into that, there is some breaking news, I guess, because it's not actual. Like, it didn't happen. Let me just read it to you. Free agent first baseman Christian Walker and the Astros are in advanced talks on a contract. That is according to Robert Murray on X and sources familiar with the situation. So, again, the reason why I hesitate to say breaking news, he didn't sign with them, but they're in advanced talks on a contract. So Christian Walker and the Astros, which is following line with everything that we've been talking about today, for Rosenthal's import or report that the Yankees might not be going big at first base. Nick, what are your thoughts on what the Yankees have done so far this offseason?
So great to be on with you guys. What's up, C-Mac?
What's up?
I, I, uh, I,
I don't know. I kind of, you know, I'm a pretty pessimistic Yankee fan. I think they're better now than they were when they lost Game 5 to the Dodgers, which is not shade to Juan Soto. And Sal, like, I wanted the Yankees to re-sign Soto, so it's not a negative Soto thing. Like, I think the Mets made a great move, obviously, by signing Soto. But, I mean, I don't know how anyone could look at what the Yankees have done with Bellinger and Devin Williams and signing Max Fried. I think they're better. Now, I don't know if better means that they're ready to win a world championship next year, but I will say, as someone who is generally very pessimistic about Cashman, Boone, and Hal and the Yankees operation, I'm pretty pleased so far. I didn't think I would say that, but I am pretty happy thus far with the Yankees this offseason.
And we know you're not happy with your New York football team. Well, really, both
who
the teams.
Be?
Yeah, the Giants and Jets. Where are you at with the Giants going on this week? You think the full tank is on here? Where are you at with as far as Shane and Dable being back? Give us the latest with that.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't think Shane and Dable should be back. I've been saying that since last year. I think everyone now agrees with me, right, on that.
I'm against you on it, to be totally honest.
I have come around to it, Nick. I was trying to be in the camp of keeping Shane and Dable. I don't know how you can make that argument now.
Yeah,
so,
no, no, but so see, Mac, it's yeah. We want to reward them with year three worst team in the league.
Yeah, I mean,
but in all seriousness,
for the next 3 years, yeah.
No, but year three worst team in the league.
Yes,
year three worst team.
Totally true. They are the worst team in the league. God hoping this young quarterback doesn't come in and figure out a way to lose this game to the Giants. Don't worry. I'm aware of what's going on here and how pitiful it is. I just think. Here's my point. My only thing is what's more likely? Brian Dable actually is someone who can work with a young quarterback who got one good year out of Daniel Jones, actually made Tommy DeVito a household name for a few weeks last year.
Did he made him a household name, or DeVito being Italian made him a household name?
Well, I mean, listen, he went out and beat a team that looked like they were about to win get into an NFC Championship game a couple weeks later. Like he beat a Green Bay Packers team with that quarterback, and he helped develop, and I'm not saying he turned him into Josh Allen, but he helped develop Josh Allen. What's more likely? If you fire these two and announce a failure again from John Mara, what's more likely? A young quarterback could possibly work with Brian Dable and become the savior of the franchise, or John Mara can go out and finally hire the right guys. I'll take the one thing I can actually
point to. These are the wrong guys.
Yeah, but you'd rather
have the wrong guys again than try to hire the right guys?
They've never... I don't think
See,
Brian
Mac, this
Dable
year three,
the
they're the
guy.
Worst. They're the worst team in the league.
I understand
it's the
they're
three.
The worst. I understand.
Do you understand?
That. Yeah, I do. They have Daniel Jones. They got rid of him 2 weeks later. They got rid of him halfway through the season. They went to two quarterbacks who can't play.
Whose fault is that? Who made the roster? John Mara?
I honestly think they're better off with two quarterbacks who can't play and a possibility of getting a quarterback in the draft than if they had a decent quarterback and won 4 or 5 games.
So yeah. So listen, we agree on that. Like they should be losing every game the rest of the season. But the idea that it's I don't trust John Mara to hire the right guy, so let's keep the wrong guy.
Yeah, I don't know if necessarily he's the wrong guy, but I understand.
You don't?
No, I don't. Not Brian Dable. I honestly don't.
Nick, do you think that...
I don't know, man. They lose every game.
I understand that.
I don't know.
I have a problem with the GM certainly has not done a good job building the roster. He did win Coach of the Year 2 years ago.
But listen, you want to play that game, we can go through some of the coaches that have won Coach of the Year.
No, I understand that.
Nick, where are you at with this coming Sunday with the Giants and the Falcons? Because I've seen a lot of this stuff on social media. And I've heard some of it where Giant fans are now like, oh my God, they're going with Penix and now maybe the Giants will win this game. If Kirk Cousins...
No way.
Exactly.
No way.
If Kirk Cousins were playing, the Giants would have a better chance to win. He stinks. Atlanta's going with Penix because they believe he's the best quarterback and he is their best quarterback. That gives them the best chance to win. I'd be curious to get your thoughts on
that. Are you in on the Falcons now, by the way?
I'm in on Penix. I want to see what he can do.
I think it makes sense.
I'm just worried about his first NFL start. That's the only thing that scares me as a Giant fan. If it would have been two weeks from now, I would be much more confident. The idea that it's a young quarterback's first start in the NFL around the storyline of benching the veteran they paid $100 million to, everything swirling around that team, it makes me nervous that it's his first start.
So C-Mac, I just want to make sure I have this right.
Yes.
You're worried that the Giants might win the game because it's Penix's first start.
I'm so terrified I'm terrified all the losing would be for naught. Because
you put your head down on the pillow tonight, my friend, and you sleep like a baby.
All right. I understand how bad they are. I do. I understand how bad they are.
I'm gonna take this a step further from what Sal said. Like, it doesn't have to be Michael Vick, Chris Miller, Steve Bartkowski, Chris Chandler could come off the bench and beat the Giants. The Giants are the worst team in the league. Okay, so let's talk about the betting market for a second. I think this is very interesting. So Atlanta, when we presumed that Kirk Cousins was going to be the quarterback in the game, right? Mm-hmm. Atlanta was a 10-point favorite.
Yeah.
10. So then it's announced that Penix is playing. and that Drew Locke's probably going to start, and the number comes down to 8.5. I want someone to tell me how that makes sense. If we all agree, and we do, right? Mm-hmm. I'd like for the one Kirk Cousins apologist. He's horrific.
Yep.
He was so bad on Monday night that the Falcons turtled for 60 minutes against the Raiders Desmond Ridder. Mm-hmm. Give me a break. Cousins had to be benched, and now Penix is playing, who we all watched take Washington to the college football playoff championship game this calendar year. It's like, actually, no, we like the Giants, really? I think the Falcons are going to kill the Giants because every team kills the Giants. Now, if you're squeamish and you want to say, you know, I don't know if Atlanta's going to blow them out. Mm-hmm. I think Atlanta is a terrific teaser leg on Sunday, down to -2.5. You pair them with the Cincinnati Bengals against the Cleveland Browns, down to 2.5. I think you've got yourself a winner. But I mean, to any Giants fan out there, and this is how you should be thinking. Yeah. You should be wanting to lose.
Of course.
Don't worry.
Hey, listen, they were kicking a game-tying field goal against the Saints. All right, that's all I'm saying. Like, anything is possible. It's the NFL.
Right, but it's not more likely because they're going with a rookie quarterback.
I mean, rookie quarterbacks scare me, that's all. But if you look at the tankathon, like, they could get jumped by 7-8 teams if they lose this game.
They're going to lose out.
All right.
Now it's just the Raiders lose out. But and I'll say this also, I'm not grinding the tape. I'm not watching the college film, but I talk to a lot of people that do and are really good with this stuff. It feels like, right now, there are two stud quarterbacks in this draft, and then draw a line, and then it's like it's a crapshoot from there.
Right.
And look, it's a crapshoot even for the guys at the top. But it's Shadur and Cam Ward.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Giants get a top two pick, they guarantee themselves one of those guys. And from what I can gather, I think I would, as a Giants fan, I'd be happy with either.
I'm fine with that. I agree with you. But that's why losing scares me. And also the regime change, not to get back to that conversation, the regime change might not want a quarterback.
Okay. No, What do you mean
the regime might change, might not want a quarterback?
Whoever they bring in, Jordan Renan reported that they wouldn't be necessarily locked into having to draft a quarterback, that there's enough weaknesses on the team that you could theoretically get a hole for that pick. I want a quarterback to change the franchise.
Let me tell you something. I don't know Jordan Renan. I'm sure like he's not making stuff up.
Yeah.
I would like to know the person that said that to him. What drugs that person is? Dude, there's no.
Okay.
I mean, like, there'd be a mutiny. If they didn't take a quarterback, absolutely. I mean,
it's not.
I guess anything's possible.
Class,
it would
Cam
be insane.
Ward, Cam Ward,
yeah, but.
BT
but if you
and
have
I were
a top
wondering about this
pick,
the other day.
Yeah. If you have a top two pick, you got to take a quarterback.
I agree with you.
Look, I did make the argument that this past draft, if they didn't like any of the quarterbacks, trade down. Don't take a wide receiver.
I don't want to trade either. I want to take the quarterback.
But there's no you. I don't care who says it. Renan, BT, Mara himself. If they have the top pick or a top two pick and they don't take a quarterback, they should fold up shop and get the hell out of town.
I know everyone last year, how could you take a quarterback at 6? I don't know, like Bo Nix looks pretty good, right?
Know.
Just saying.
And watch Penix. Nick light them up. He's going to make them look even worse because they pass on in.
No, you're right.
I hope it happens.
Yeah, so do I. And that's the one thing that I'm holding on, and I know I'm holding on, to Brian Daboll. That's the one thing that bothers me is I'm trying to talk. Oh,
I just don't know why you like him so much. They're awful,
like
man.
So much.
They lose every game.
No, they do lose every game. It's hard to argue with you. I get it. Let's get to another game outside the market here, because I love the greatest rivalry in the sport. Baltimore Ravens, I could argue they're the better football team here, but these two teams know each other so well, play so many close games. The Ravens have weird weeks, and I know this isn't one where they might stub their toe, but 6.5 jumps out as a lot to me.
So I agree with you. I do think Baltimore is like no doubt better than Pittsburgh, despite the Pittsburgh's like mastery over Baltimore.
Right.
I mean, and I bet the Ravens when these two teams played like 6 weeks ago in Pittsburgh, and like Pittsburgh won 18-16. Tucker missed the field goals, just a mind-numbing loss. More so for me than screw them. I lost money. It sucked. in this game, I don't think the Steelers are going to win, and this is not one of my favorite. I like other bets more this week than this one, but I did bet the Steelers. The reason why, and I came on with you guys last week, and I said I like the Eagles against Pittsburgh, right? And the Eagles covered the spread. And the reason was, Pittsburgh's going to have no downfield passing attack without George Pickens. They got away without having Pickens 2 weeks ago against Cleveland, because Jameis threw some picks, and the Browns kicker missed a couple field goals. They were not going to get away with it against the Eagles, and then everyone watches the game and goes, oh my God, like they have no downfield passing game without Pickens. And now I actually think this is being like talked about and factored in too much. I feel like the point spread's like a little too big here. Now, Baltimore should be a big favorite in the game. I do agree with you, C-Mac, that 6.5 is too much. And you think about these, you called it, right? And you're right. like maybe the greatest rivalry in football. Mm-hmm. These two teams are hard-nosed football, usually play lower-scoring games. It's you know, going to be December 21st. It's going to be cold. Special teams is probably going to matter. Which kicker do you trust more, and is it even close?
Yeah.
Chris Boswell or Justin Tucker? So I did bet the Steelers plus 6.5. It is not one of my favorite bets of the week, but I am on the Steelers coming up tomorrow.
Where are you at, Nick, with Rodgers? You want him back, or you still moved on? I know a lot of people have changed course on that. I've always wanted him back. Where are you at with Rodgers?
Yeah, I would say, like, desperation party of one, your table is ready with Rodgers. Like, oh, actually, I'll come back and mentor a quarterback. I'd like to hear what Jordan Love thinks about that, or, like, Brian Brom, or any of these young quarterbacks that Rodgers
did mentor,
like,
Jordan Love.
Stop it.
That's, hey, that's what I saw that on the coming attraction of his new trailer. Of his
it.
New
he
biography.
Okay. Yeah. Rodgers, I'll come back and mention.
He was
going to
do it better than Brett. It was a part. It was a point of emphasis for him and Green Bay. Yeah.
Well, I mean, probably couldn't be worse than Brett was.
That's true.
No, I don't think he should come back under like no circumstances. You need a fresh start. If you're the Jets, you find out, I don't know who the quarterback's going to be. They may not be in position to draft one of the top guys. Here's the other thing, right? It's not things in a vacuum, like does Rodgers come back? The Jets are going to hire a new head coach. What head coach worth his salt is taking that job and like Rodgers has the keys to the franchise for a year? Who wants that?
Yeah.
Who would want that?
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that report from Diana received, the latest about Woody Johnson?
I mean, everything's believable, right, with the Jets. Part of me, so we're referring to the Jerry Jeudy thing, right? The Madden rating.
Well, yeah, that,
you know, his kids are making decisions. You know, he's in the locker room screaming that Mike White sucks.
I liked Mike White. Yeah. Part of me, like with the Woody stuff, like the 20-year-old in me who was like ripping the bong and playing Madden at Fordham and like licking Cheeto dust off my fingers, part of me wants to stand up and give this guy an ovation. Because when I was 20 years old, I too thought that I could use Madden to run an NFL team. But now I'm 41 and he's 77.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I mean, he's a horrible owner.
Yeah.
The team's bad all the time. And this is not to excuse Saleh or Joe Douglas for terrible picks or Rodgers for his play. I mean, it's the head of the snake, right? Like, bad teams stay bad because of ownership. Look at the Giants since Wellington passed away. I mean, and John Mara had to start making his own decisions.
Yeah.
I think it's all I can't confirm that it's true. Mm-hmm. Would anyone be shocked if everything Diana Russini said was true?
No, of course not. They don't get the benefit of the doubt. But that begs the question next, like, because we talk about a lot of the different jobs that are going to be opening, possibly with the New York Giants. Like, what GM, what candidate, like, there's been reports Vrabel would be interested. There's also reports the Bears would be interested in Vrabel. Who wouldn't pick the Chicago Bears over the New York Jets right now? So, like, yes, rebuild it, tear it down. Who would actually take this job and go work with? I know there's only so many of them. It's an NFL job. But, like, none of the top prime candidates, I think, would want to come in and work with Woody Johnson.
Well, I think if you're going to, so, just, like, to use the Bears as a comparison, the McCaskey family is, like, this is not exactly, like, the greatest ownership group in sports either. With Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing that I would say, if people want to like look at the Jets as being a positive job, so Buffalo's obviously great. Like, the Bills are awesome, and they're going to be awesome for as long as Josh Allen's there.
Mm-hmm.
I like Drake May. I think he's really good. As of right now, it looks like Gerard Mayo's going to come back. That coaching staff is a disaster with the Patriots, and the Crafts may be a disaster without Bill Belichick. And right now, and like, we'll see how the final three games of the season play out, it feels to me like the Dolphins might have already peaked under Mike McDaniel and Stephen Ross is not proven to be one of the great owners. And look at the NFC North.
Yeah.
You have the Packers, who are going to be good for a long time. The Vikings, Kevin O'Connell's an absolute monster, and you have the Lions, who are going to be good for a long time. I actually think it'd be easier to win with the Jets than it would be in the NFC North with the Chicago Bears, even though the Bears have Caleb Williams, have the quarterback already.
All right, Nick, what's your plans for Christmas? You going to be able to watch these games? I know this weekend you got Saturday, Sunday loaded up. I hate the fact that they have two games on Christmas Day at 1 and 4 o'clock. What are your plans, knowing you're going to be betting them and trying to spend time with the family? What do you got?
Yeah, the NFL's war on Christmas. This is great. Like,
I hate it.
We can't, and like, we love the NFL,
of course.
Can some things be sacred?
I agree.
Can I hang on a Wednesday? It's Wednesday. It's not like Sunday and we're having games on Christmas.
Right.
Yeah, I hate it. But I have to watch the stuff. So I am off. Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. But I'll be back on Friday and then in perpetuity, basically. Yeah, because it's a huge time of year for sports and sports betting. So I will do my best to watch all the games while also spending time with my family. The one guarantee that I can make is that my wife will be pissed at me.
I know. That's the worst.
No matter
part
what
of
it. I do, my wife will be angry. So that is the one guarantee that I can make.
Well, Nick, happy holidays.
Nick, thanks. Sorry that I had to take you out in fantasy football, though. I don't even know I'm Team Bauer. So I got
you killed me.
Yeah,
I
dominated. Yep. And I felt like after you yelling at me about Brian Daboll, I had to sneak it in.
No,
I took you down on
Sunday. To be fair, C-Mac annihilated me in that league with a bunch of Bonzo's in that league. And I know he's not a fan anymore, but Lou Gower, et cetera. C-Mac killed me, which was no fun. Yeah. So good job by you, my friend.
Well, thank you, bro.
All right, Nick. Well,
enjoy your holiday.
Yes, happy holidays, Nick. We appreciate having you on every single week. We enjoy talking to you when we return after the new year.
Merry Christmas. Wishing everyone minimal sweats winning bets. The absolute very best of luck.
That was the host of You Better You Bet and Odyssey Sports Betting Insider, Nick Costos. Insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Sal back on the Fan. C-Mac in for BT, who is off and getting his holiday week started. He's got St. John's tonight, so we'll be back with this when we return January 2nd. Although I'll be in 1 week from today on another Football Friday, hosting with the Francesas a little Christmas holiday week with the Francesas. Jack and Harrison, Mike's sons, looking forward to I've had them on the podcast before, looking forward to having them in studio. I don't know if I would quantify this as being done yet, C-Mac, but we do have an update with Christian Walker. Jim Bowden tweeted about 10 minutes ago, Christian Walker deal is done with the Astros pending a physical. Again, this is Bowden. Like, usually with me, is it Bowden or Bowden? I always get that mixed up.
I think it's Bowden.
Okay, Bowden. Usually with me, I wait for, you know, pass in.
I agree. And I'm looking. I'm not seeing them. They're Heyman, you know, and Feinsand both reference the down the road thing, but neither. I haven't seen them call it done.
All right. But what'd you say it was, Bowden again? Or
Bowden.
Bowden, yeah. Bowden saying it is done. Even talking Yanks now, just chiming in saying,
they're going on.
Given the report Bowden report, that. Well, I mean, look, he is.
Robert Murray as well.
Yeah. Saying it's the same thing.
Yeah, saying it's done.
He's the one I thought said earlier that it was close to being complete, so maybe this is where we're at. Wow. So if you think about it, I am actually shocked at this, assuming that these reports are true.
Yeah.
That I thought the Yankees would get Bellinger, check. I thought the Yankees would get Walker, and it sounds like that's not going to happen.
They're not. Yeah, I mean, I don't think they were ready to give whatever the number is. I mean, they're not, and considering the picks they're going to lose, they weren't ready to go and give him the money he's asking.
I would think,
and we'll see what the deal is with the Astros.
Sorry, C-Mac. I would think it's more about the money than the picks. Although we got to see what it's going to be.
I think it's a combination. If he didn't have the picks, I think they'd be more willing to spend more money. But I'm sure because I do think they value the picks. You know, they've already lost two. They're going to have no pick. They're going to have a first round pick. That's it. Like, they're going to have
Pick.
They don't need a pick.
No pick. That was a funny Seinfeld episode.
Yeah.
Remember? No pick. It was a scratch.
Yeah, right.
He called your show, not mine.
He did. Yeah, I know. Too bad. Yes. No, he called my show.
He made you famous.
Sort of. Yeah, he made me famous.
Oh,
he made
Rosie,
Paul Rosenberg famous for sure. No, yeah, that was funny. And he wanted Yankee tears. I'll never forget that.
Oh, that's the greatest thing ever.
I'll never forget the feeling of the pivot, because like I'm talking. I don't want to talk about the show specifically, even though he called in about that. What am I going to do? You know what I loved? My favorite episode was this, and then I really loved that. Like, what am I going to do? So I started asking about the Mets and everything, and then all of a sudden, when he asked if I was a Yankee fan, that sentence of "Tell me about the fifth inning,"
and the way
he said it, like, I was like, "Whoa." I didn't expect that, and then I was getting into it with Jerry Seinfeld. But anyway, that's another conversation for a different day. I do think they care about the picks. I think now you can. I don't think they're going to do Pete Alonso if they weren't willing to do whatever this is.
Correct.
So
which
I think
adds
that's
to
it.
Not that we need that to bring credence to the Rosenthal report, but it just stands
now,
home.
Now I feel like it's a lock. Because he just signed.
Correct.
Like, with the thoughts where the first base market has gotten out of control and nobody's near it. So if it was like Christmas and then New Year's, and neither of these two first basemen went, I'm like, maybe the market will come down to the Yankees. They'll reconsider it. Now that it was close enough for Houston to bite, I would imagine that the Yankees just aren't paying money for a big-time first baseman. So now I think you're locked into Santana, Paul Goldschmidt, or trading for maybe Yandy Diaz, or trading for another first baseman option that we're not even thinking of, Josh Naylor.
Or keeping in-house for first and getting somebody at third.
Correct.
Minimum, they need to do one. They need to go outside for one of the corners at minimum.
I think they need both.
Yeah,
I think they need two bats. They don't have to be the top of the market, but they need two bats. They need someone who can either play first or outfield, and they need someone who can either play second or third.
My only regret, and I'm happy to have you phone in and give you the opportunity to get a... I wish BT were here for this one.
He was a Christian Walker guy.
Can we get BT on the horn? BT, where are you, buddy?
Driving to Providence.
Call in. Oh, yes. Yes. No, just kidding.
We all wanted. I think Walker seemed like a reasonable. We'll see what the deal is before it's done. I want to see what it is because I'm curious what Houston's doing here. To be totally honest with you, not that we're doing sports talk radio.
No, but what are they doing?
But they got Paredes at third. So now Bregman's gone. You can forget about that because theoretically you could have played Paredes at first base or done something. Now you've got Walker in first. You got Paredes at third, who they just traded for. So I don't know. Bregman's gone, so that's for sure.
Right.
They got rid of Tucker, but they're adding Walker. Like,
I'm just curious what the amount was,
right?
Because it's going to directly impact Alonso.
No doubt,
which directly impacts the Mets.
Correct. No. So yes, it impacts the Mets for Alonso. It impacts the Yankees on what they're going to do here. I don't know what the money is. If it's under, like, if it's under $25 million. I would imagine it's gonna be.
How many years?
3-4 years.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Did they give him the fourth year?
Yeah.
You know, I think it's gonna be 3-4 years max. I think 4 years would be a stretch.
Yeah.
If he's getting
485, 486.
If Walker is getting, and Hoff, just keep us updated in case we see anything come out here. If he gets 25 for 4 years, $100 million, to me, that's, I would not pay that
much.
That's
a lot.
I'd rather pay Pete. And by the way, that means Pete's price is going to go up.
No doubt.
Because he's younger and he's a better power hitter. Not maybe a better all-around player, but younger. Maybe Pete does get over 150, 160. Yeah, man, now you're getting up there for Pete.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
Yes.
Who's the top scooper in baseball first base?
Well, Pete Alonso.
There you go.
He can pick it.
Oh, come on. He
is. Statistically, it is.
Is
actually.
He really?
Yeah.
I've watched a lot of Pete Alonso. While I do think some of the he's a butcher at first, or some of the narratives around him playing first base are false, he's better than that. He
can't throw.
He's not the premier scooper in the sport.
He can't throw in his footwork. I mean, he's done a good job turning himself into
a very
serviceable
good
first baseman.
Yep.
But yes, his scoops are second to none.
I really don't care.
Second to none.
No, I don't buy it for a second.
It's just accurate. Don't shoot the messenger.
First of all, defensive ratings and all this stuff is by far the hardest and the least I go by.
Also,
the hardest to judge. These defensive WAR numbers. Remember, they had Derek Jeter as the worst defensive shortstop in the
sport. Ridiculous.
He wasn't. Was he great?
Soto was a Gold Glove candidate last year.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, come on.
Well, listen, he can throw.
Yeah.
He can throw.
Well, I get it. But
and he led the American League in assists. It was right there at the top of the league in assists. And memorable ones, big time ones.
He still shouldn't be a Gold Glover.
No,
I mean, come
of course
on.
Not. Right, but he's also not terrible.
BT and Sal on the fan. C-Mac in for BT.
The best scooper.
It's just accurate.
Are you guys serious?
He's going to get paid for his power, obviously.
Right.
Not
no,
his
no,
picks,
no, 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 no.
But...
He's the best scooper.
Yeah,
his hands around the bag are what he's known for.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Please.
Just Mark Feinstein is confirming that they've agreed on terms, but there's no terms yet. But that's another agreement.
Yeah.
Hopefully
terms. Prepare yourself, Yankee fans. Plan B involves either Bellinger at first base. This is where we are. Either Bellinger at first base or someone you're not going to be happy with. Plain and simple. That's the only two options left.
I think you got to change something you said right there. You called it Plan B.
Yeah.
I think at this point we're on a Plan C.
No, I don't think so.
Maybe Plan D. What do you mean? Again,
they got the second best closer in the sport. That was not part of Plan B when we thought it was going to be.
Plan B, Christian Walker was on part of. So if Plan B doesn't work, then you're on to Plan.
No, that's no.
C.
No. Plan B was never about one player.
Plan A was Soto.
It's at least Plan C.
That's not true. This is all part of Plan B.
Was Walker a part of Plan B?
No. Now I know because he's not a Yankee.
Was getting a big first baseman part of Plan B?
No,
it wasn't.
No, not specifically. No, was changing the team. If I asked you weeks ago or whenever Juan Soto signed, and I said the second best reliever in the sport, you would not have suggested that would be part of Plan B.
Oh, right.
They have Weaver to close the game.
Plan B would have been what they did plus Christian Walker minimum.
No, Listen, so if that doesn't happen, no, then, that's not. You can't go by that.
If they get pregnant, I'll
because
give you that.
Tucker was an option for a brief fleeting moment.
That's why I said Tucker
that would have been the best plan B.
Well,
it didn't happen. We didn't move on to plan C.
Well, you may not have.
No.
But that's why I said Soto was plan A.
Plan
Tucker
B.
was plan B.
No.
It's Walker all, was plan C.
No.
Yeah. Plan D.
It's just levels of plan B. Stop it.
Could we plan
There's
on
levels?
Going to the break?
Yeah, that should be plan A.
Right.
All right, BT and Sal on the fan. C-Mac in for BT. 888-808-1019. Right now, let's get you updated. Here's Andrew Bogut.